Well, good morning, church. Hello, everyone. Throughout these summer weeks, we've been going through some different chapters in Psalms, summer in the Psalms. And a couple of weeks ago, I'd made my decision on which psalm I was going to preach from this morning. And I was determined I wanted to do a messianic psalm, one of the psalms that talk about Jesus. And there are many to choose from, of course, that we could do. However, I felt really challenged regarding something that has been happening in the nations. And even though I felt like I had made my decision, I felt that another decision was being put before me. And I had to go with it. So, friends, if you would turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63. It will be on the board for us, on the screen for us. So just to give a little bit of background regarding this, Psalm 63 is a psalm of David, and at the point that he's writing this psalm, he's on the run. We're not really quite sure exactly when this is. This could be either during when Saul is attacking him and pursuing him. It could also be when his own son Absalom was after him as well. But what we do know is that he's in a place of wilderness. What's interesting about this psalm, though, is that even though it starts in a particular way, it starts as a lament, that is to say, of real sadness, of being distraught at his situation, yet still he has his confidence in God. So friends, let's read Psalm chapter 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. One of the things that was a prompt for this was a couple of weeks ago as a family, we went to visit my family in the Midlands in Stoke-on-Trent, and the sat-nav for some reason decided to take us in a different direction. I say for some reason, you know, maybe it was the Lord. And instead of going our usual way, heads of the valleys, it took us through the Brecon Beacons. And there's a moment where you're near the car park at Penavan. Maybe some of you know it very well. And on the left is a reservoir. Sometimes you see some different military exercises that are going on there and things like that. And it's normally full of water. And as we turned just to go onto the main road, we said to our children, "Look, we're going to see this reservoir." You don't see reservoirs around here really that often. So I said, "Oh, there's going to be this big reservoir, loads and loads of water. It's going to be amazing." And as soon as the trees get out the way, we look upon this almost empty reservoir. Right down. And I didn't realize how deep it was. When they say danger, deep water, and the signs, of course, are still there, you see how deep this reservoir normally is, and yet there's almost like this little puddle that's left on this reservoir. Some of you may have heard of the situation that's happening in Europe as well as here in the UK, where rivers seem to be running dry. Rivers like the Rhine, an important river for commerce, is falling to record levels. You can see some of the barges are having to even switch to have lighter loads or even have a different type of barge to be able to get through some of the shallower sections. We're hearing of hose pipe bans across the UK. Some parts of Italy have limited amounts of drinking water. And I wonder, when I read this psalm, we hear a similar idea, don't we, that David had here. My soul thirsts for you. Throughout Scripture, we often see these prompts of earthly things being used by God to draw people back to himself. When we think about Amos, in Amos chapter 4, there's a whole series of these verses where God says, I did this, and yet you didn't return to me. I did this, and yet you didn't return to me. In Amos chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, it reads this. Verse 6 says this, I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. That is to say that if you've got clean teeth, it's because they haven't been dirtied by food. That is to say that you're hungry. And gave you lack of bread in all your places, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld the rain from you. When there was yet 3 months to the harvest, I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. In Amos's time, there's this idea that the people of Israel were not following God. And so what does God do? He uses the things of earth to prompt the people of Israel to respond. I did this, and yet you didn't return. I gave you cleanness of teeth, and yet you did not return to me. I gave you thirst, your fields withered, and yet you didn't return. The European Drought Agency is actually saying that there could be as much as 20 to 40% less crop yield this year simply because of the lack of rainfall. That even here in the UK, if you look at some of the hills that are around us, and maybe you've seen some of the pictures of the parks in London as well, where there were once green fields, green grass everywhere, it's now brown, simply because there hasn't been enough water. There's even been gardens in Chatham House where old paths can now be seen, which were once grassed over. Those old paths are now being seen simply because the grass on the top has withered and died. Friends, is God using this situation to prompt the nations back to him? Is God using these situations, which seem so ordinary to us, seem so political to us, seem so like a national problem to us, is God using these things in order to prompt us back to him, to call the nations back to him? Just as David here, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, found himself in a dry and weary land where there was no water, friends, we too find ourselves in a situation where we are running out of water here in the UK. We're finding hose pipe bans, reservoirs that are running low, rivers and streams that are drying up. Old villages that were flooded to build reservoirs are now being seen. In Spain, there is what was referred to as the Stonehenge of Spain has now been revealed because a reservoir has now dried up. Things that were hidden are now being revealed. Friends, is God using these situations, this circumstance, to prompt us back to Him? In Ruth chapter 1, right at the start of Ruth chapter 1, Naomi has left the land of Bethlehem because there was no water. But in verse 6, we read this, which is on the screen for us now. Then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. Whenever there is this reference of the Lord's blessing within Scripture, it is demonstrated by an abundance of things. The vats overflow with wine. The trees, the olive tree is plentiful. There's even this idea that the honey falls from the honeycomb because the honeycomb is so heavy with honey. It drips from the honeycomb. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is blessing. And so it makes me wonder, friends, if we were to turn back to God as a nation, if we were to call out upon God, even as the faithful, to have bold prayers for national issues, international issues, to say, Lord God, would you send the rain? Would you heal the land? O land, O land, O land, hear the word of the Lord, as we read in Jeremiah. Because friends, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 12 to 15, we see this idea again, what the promises of God, that God himself gives to the people of Israel. He reads this, and because you listen to these rules and keep to do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. We see here, the next part, the next sentence. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increases of your herds, the young of your flock, and the land that he swore to give to your fathers. You shall be blessed above all peoples. Once again, friends, is God calling us? Is God using this situation of us being thirsty, of us seeing reservoirs drying up, of concern, national concern? Is this God using that situation to prompt us back to him? Indeed, there are other situations that we might consider. Again, while I was during my preparation, I was reminded of a book that I read many, many years ago. It's by Brian Griffiths. It's called Morality and the Marketplace. The subtitle is Christian Alternatives to Capitalism and Socialism. And it's from 1989, years ago, when it was published. But this is what is written, and this is what a quote from the book. From the Old Testament, God actively judges people and nations. In this context, we may well ask whether we're not living in an age where God is judging our Western civilization, whether the inflation of the Western world is a judgment on materialism, or the rising unemployment judgment on militant trade unionism, or the crisis of capitalism a judgment on the secular humanism of our age. Is God using those things to prompt us? The energy crisis that we see and hear, where there's a belief that around a third of households may be pushed into poverty. Is God using that to call us back to him, to draw us back to him? Where we're hearing of food stocks possibly decreasing, of fields not bringing in plentiful harvest. Is God using that? When we hear of wars, rumors of wars, and so on, is God using those things, my friends, to draw us back to him. But then we must also see, coming back to Psalm 63, what does David do? What does David do when he's in the wilderness? Remember, I told us it starts as a lament, doesn't it? It starts this crying out, oh God, my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. But then what does he do? What does he say? Even in verse 2, I've looked upon you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your glory. I've beheld your power. Even though he's within a dry and thirsty land, what does he say? My lips will praise you. He's going to be thirsty, and yet he's saying, my lips will praise you. I will lift up your name. I will lift up your hands. He tells us in verse 5 how he's going to be satisfied, what it's going to be like for him. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich foods. Maybe some of you can remember meals like that where you've been hungry, you've eaten, and your soul has been satisfied by what you have eaten. Friends, I sincerely believe that the nations of Europe, including the UK, what have we done over the last 50, 70, 100 years? We have turned our back upon God. We've made gods out of the individual. We've said, well, I'm living by my truth. I'm living true to myself. I'm following my heart. Rather than what? Denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Christ. We are literally reliving what we see in Judges 21, verse 25. The start of Judges and the end of Judges starts with this idea. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and what? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Friends, that's exactly the situation that we find ourselves in. We're all doing what we want to do, living for ourselves, making gods out of ourselves, following our own pursuits, our own desires. So what should we do? We need to deny ourselves. We need to pick up our cross, and we must follow Christ. We must live for Jesus. Friends, we must be willing and able to call upon God, to pray bold international prayers that God would move in mighty power, restore his glory upon the nations, restore his blessing upon the nations, because there is no real answer to this situation. How can we make reservoirs full? We can't force it to rain. The only solution we truly have is to look upon the Lord, to call upon his name. So friends, I think that there is two things that we must do, two groups that we might be able to put ourselves into here. The first is to think about ourselves as individuals. Maybe you have lived for yourself. Maybe you recognize that you've been true to yourself, that you've just lived your own life, followed your own heart, followed your own desires. But maybe during this time there is a prompt within you. To use the term that we see in Acts chapter 2, maybe it is that you feel that you have been prodded in the heart, that there is something within you that says, no longer can I live for myself. No longer can I live for myself. I must live for someone else. And friends, the truth is that you must live for Jesus. That all of us, every single one of us, must live for Jesus. Must serve him in every single way. And so I want to ask here today, are you someone here today that lives your own life, but now you know you must live for Christ, that you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus? Is there someone here today who perhaps for the first time knows that they must accept him as their Lord and Savior? If that is you, Would you raise your hand? Would you get my attention in some way so that I may pray for and with you? Is there one here today that will say yes to following Jesus for the first time? And let us perhaps open that a little wider. Is there someone here today that at some point in your past, you did live for Jesus? You may have done everything you could for him, but for whatever reason, the things of earth have taken your distraction, have distracted you from following Jesus. Maybe there is someone here today that knows that you are being called back to Christ, to rededicate your life to following Jesus. Again, if there is someone here that fits that description, that you know that is you, that you know you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, would you get my attention in some way? Would you raise your hand so that I may pray for and with you? Is there one here that will accept Jesus for the first time or to rededicate your life to him? And perhaps there is someone at home, someone who is listening to this, and you think, actually, yes, I know that I need to live for Jesus. I know that I need to serve him in every single way. Maybe to rededicate your life to him. Make sure that you pursue Jesus. Make sure that you call out to him for forgiveness. And please, if you are watching online, if you are listening back to this sermon at a future time, please get in contact with us in any way that you can so that we may pray for and with you. And then, friends, there is something for all of us, something that I truly believe that we must all do. Friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we must pray for our nation. We must pray for our nation. Every now and again, maybe you turn on the news and you hear of some other thing that is happening that takes us a little further away from following Christ. That there is something that happens and you think, has it really gotten this bad? Is it really happening like this? Friends, may we have the gift of faith. May we have the gift of faith that comes from the Holy Spirit, that we don't look with despair upon our nation, but we look with the gift of faith where we say, we are going to call. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord. That we are going to know that we're going to bless him as long as we live. That we know that it is in his name. We lift up his name with holy hands. That we know that our nation can only be satisfied with him. That the nation may search after all sorts of things. It may search after money. It may search after power. It may search after the individual. But friends, its true satisfaction can only be found in the one true living God. May the lips, the mouth of the nation praise the one true living God with joyful lips. May the nation remember him when they go to bed at night. May they meditate on the goodness of God during the evening. May they be able to call upon him because they know that he is our help. That God alone is the help that we need. That we can rest and have protection in the shadow of his wings. And because of that, we will sing for joy. That the soul of the nation, the individuals of the nation, will cling to God, knowing that his right hand upholds us. May we all pray bold prayers for our nation.